the supermarket at the top of the world. There is a special, I would even call it tenderness, to the supermarket at this time. It is an ordinary weekday night, between 6 and 8 in the evening. The rush of the afternoon is over, and everyone coming in, always alone, is a little blurry around the eyes, like they're all tired from their jobs, and maybe they had to dig deep and put in an extra hour or two, and I know how that can be. I like these faces, the weariness, but also that sense of thank God that's over, and everything else is so bright in here. The lit up chiller cabinets and rows of boxes and packets. It's all spotless and you can never get bored. I couldn't actually tell you if they ever played music here, and I know that they don't now, but it's like there was always a music here and the customers kind of drifting. People without kids, working funny hours, a little misplaced in their energies. People like me. By now, you can probably tell that I've been coming here for years. I remember when it first opened. It was part of a then-modern development, the kind that they will eventually make shocking documentaries about, and there will be calls for a police inquiry over those on the council who allowed it. Only now they are all dead, so it's all a bit late, really, for the real criminals. You see, there was once rows and rows of houses around here, places for the workers at the brewery and Clement Steele. An old-fashioned way of life, but we liked it there. Then, all of that got knocked down, and this shopping centre and a big college were put in their place. But not quite, because they didn't knock down our end of the street. My mother said it was because they didn't want my family upset, and maybe that was true. So our little corner survived, surrounded by walls of concrete and all these blank-looking windows and an ugly great car park that was like a castle from a horror film set in space. All those houses. 3 pubs gone, the little shops too, and of course the chippy. So we were amongst the very few actual locals to first use this supermarket. And in fairness, for all her initial misgivings, Mum loved it. I remember that first look around because she always needed a little help. Loading the trolley was great. We stacked it up and paid in cash. Then, when we got home, Dad had to go out and find a freezer. Don't ask where that came from, because now we needed somewhere to put it all. Don't believe everything you hear. A lot of the time we were just as normal as anyone else. So, the years went by, and bit by bit everything changed. Our little corner got demolished, but by then Mum was in the home anyway. That car park I mentioned was torn down. Even the shopping centre was taken apart. In fact, in what I consider to be the supermarket's most loyal moment, it was the only thing still standing. You had to get to it through a scaffolding bridge, while everything else was this bomb site that you could only view through the little windows in the side fence. It was amazing. You'd look down on all that had been taken away, and it was levels and levels and levels going down, where all these sub-basements had been, with just this place still there, on top, above everything, like the supermarket at the top of the world. I'd just been through some tricky times myself, and going in past the construction company's Checkpoint Charlie arrangement, and then seeing that once inside everything was the way it had always been, I remember thinking, you and me, buddy. Then all that was built up around it again. A new shopping centre, and I suppose the shops are now more upmarket, but really it's just the same old con. But the supermarket has always had the stuff you need, and that's why, due to what might be called unforeseen circumstances, I'm here this evening. Now, this isn't America. You can't just pop in for a rifle and a box of rounds. But if you know your stuff, it's possible to improvise. Washing up liquid, sugar, and some wine bottles I can empty out, and of course, there's already petrol in my car. Wait. Hello? A young lady just gave me the eye, and why not? For my age, I'm in fair shape and have always dressed to impress. And that twinkle in my eye, or maybe she, with her kale and her voddy, would be intrigued by the fact that this gent has the main ingredients of napalm in his basket. Or maybe not. Who can ever tell with the fairer sex? They always seem to like it both ways. But she's great looking and has some really good gear on. A dark coat with these elegant tassels down the back and the arms to go with her lovely long shiny hair. But it always had to come to this, the napalm. You remember what I was talking about with the developments around here? The ebb and flow of time and fortune is something of a mirror to my own life. What once was a family became just four brothers, then just two, and then finally me. And the new threats were no longer even visible, more a general miasma made of offshore money and people from countries that sometimes you'd never even heard of and seemed to operate more like cults. But I always held a corner of this city. So play that helicopter music from Apocalypse Now. We're about to go thermonuclear. So I'm approaching the checkout, and the kids who work in the shop with their baggy polo shirts all look as wacky and oddly contented as ever. I bet they have a real little scene here, God bless them. Then I get the beautiful perfume all around me, warm and deep. "We've got you on this," says the girl I saw earlier, because she's suddenly next to me, hot with her expensive scent and unstoppable purpose. I don't look over, I just ask her, "Who?" She says the name of a London family, the proverbial heavy mob, and for a moment I have to think about what this might mean for me. But then I say yes. This would come with catches, but I could worry about that all later. Then she laughs, the tension between us gone. She says, "You are going to bomb your way out of this," cheeky with her basket of salads. So I hiss, "What was your weapon of choice for the bastards? Bulimia?" At this she grins, then she's all businesslike again. She tells me, "There's three of them in a van, plus a motorbike, but we already took care of that. By the time we walk past, that'll all be gone." I expect that someone else was listening to all that, so I have a moment or two to ourselves, then her phone bleeps. She tells me, "They're dead," and I believe her. The people that had been onto me were very small time, and that had perhaps been the worst of it. Maybe that was why I was going for my napalm spectacular. Now I look around at the supermarket, my supermarket, and I see that this lady is grinning at me because despite it all, I'm still going to buy my tidy little bomb kit. And I think of my mum then, and where we used to live, and that time when this supermarket had been the only thing intact in all that between developments wasteland. And so I know that in a way, home will always save you. You just have to stay close. Maybe things are about to get worse for me, and maybe they aren't. But for now, I ask the sexy London girl if she'd like to come for a drink, mentioning the name of a pub that no longer exists. And she says, "Why not?"